Wow, right? Welcome this morning. You know, as you heard, we have so many gone and traveling, but I'm very pleased to see all of you here. How many of you really enjoyed worshiping and song the Lord this morning? Yeah? Yeah? Let's give God a round of praise. Amen. Man, you know I'm doing and feeling it when I'm already wiping my head before I even get up here, just in praise. Woo! I love that. Well, listen, today is what? 4th of July. So as you see, we put the flags up, the Christian flag, the United States flag, in just honor of this day. And many of us are dressed in red, white, and blue. You got to, hey, just go up to Jeff at the end of the church and say, hey, Jeff, let me see your socks. I mean, amazing. This is Jeff's birthday, everyone. Welcome. Happy birthday, Jeff. But you know, he told my father that when he was a young boy, he thought all the fireworks on 4th of July were for his birthday. Then he got the news. But this morning we're going to do something. Who else's birthday? Rachel. Oh, it's Rachel's birthday. Look at Rachel back there. Happy birthday to Rachel. Yeah. But we're going to take a break today from Acts again. You know, Friday morning, really late in the week, I decided to start over on everything. Tom was there. You know, I was like, oh boy, start over from scratch. And put Acts aside by doing another holiday message. I don't tend to do holiday messages, as I told you, except on Thanksgiving or Christmas, but I'll let the Lord lead that. One thing that was laid on my heart is there seems to be such despair in our nation today, so down on the United States of America today. And when you look at it in its whole, some things, yes, we should be very concerned about. But today, think about it, regardless of the news, social, political, economic issues, and on this, and on the things that are going on today, we still live in the freest nation on earth by the grace of God Himself. Amen? I'm still free to speak up here today. You're still free to be here today. We're still free to worship. We're still free to state opinion, travel where we wanted. Pursue a career, pursue what God's laid on your heart, to invest financially, to teach your children the Word of God. Are we still not thankful for the freedoms that we have in this nation? We should be. I still believe this is still the land of opportunity. We are still the United States of America, and as far as other nations are concerned, nothing compares. If we're going to compare flawed nations in a flawed world, nothing compares to our flawed nation. I'm thankful for that. To those who don't feel that way, they're still free in this nation to go live somewhere else, and you're free to do that. We're free, free to choose. Freedom. You know, today is July 4th. It's the anniversary of the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776. You know, when I was a boy, I was enamored with our history, with our founding fathers, with what happened. I loved the Revolutionary War, everything about the Revolutionary War. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Paul Revere, the Minutemen, the David going up against Goliath. I even went to a school at Bethesda where our school mascot or title was the Patriots. We were the Patriots. I was a Patriot. And before we had the Colts come to Indianapolis, I loved the New England Patriots because they had the same mascot I did in school. I loved the red, white, and blue. Went into the military. What an honor to serve in the United States, to be in a foreign country, and to be able to say, I'm an American soldier here to help you, here to defend your freedom. Wow. What so many things we should be thankful about. We celebrate July 4th. 1776, that Declaration of Independence, which is considered our nation's greatest secular holiday according to the Britannica Encyclopedia. We should truly be thanking God every day for the national freedom, for the personal liberty that we have here in America, this sweet land of liberty. FreedomHouse.org, you can go there. FreedomHouse.org has a map of the world showing the countries that are free in the world and those that are not or are partially free. Everything in green they say is free, yellow partially free, purple not free. Yet the map is somewhat confusing. You must go there. Even many of the countries in green, they grade on a curve compared to the worst of the others, is somewhat free. But it's not the democracy we live in or the republic we live in. We are in a select group, even in that green, of nations considered to have the freedom that we have. Wow. Most of our world, when you look at the map, is not free or partially free, which means not free. What's partial freedom mean? That means there's some parts that are not free. The map of free countries, we are part of that, and we should be thankful. You know, when you look at the free countries in green on the site, it will show that many of these are listed free. And when you think about it, you say, wow, the world is under turmoil. It's in stress. It's under dictatorships, hate, crimes, and on it goes, and wars and rumors of wars and control. You know, you think of stories of those who risked their life. Stories even today to escape countries like North Korea, as an example, where to even speak against the government will mean loss of your life. And we even see these today all over the internet, true stories of people under such suppression that even if you speak out about your faith, speak out against what government tyranny may look like, you're dead or you're incarcerated. They risk their lives for the very freedom that we have enjoyed in this country for over the last 240 years. The problem with us in the world today, and us, I think, in the history of the world since sin came into the world, is we can become complacent. We can forget the great joy and blessing and privilege that God has allowed us to possess. Thanks to those who have gone before us, who have risked and lost their lives, those who have took risk to create, risk to invest, risk as entrepreneurs, risk to step up for social justice, risk to do things and to take on things in the United States of America. Thank God for those who have donned the uniform and gone overseas to fight for freedom's cause. We should be so thankful. When we say this, we can choose our occupations. We can travel freely where we want and when we want. We can cross state borders, cross state lines with freedom. We can pray. We can worship. We can proclaim the Bible of Jesus Christ publicly, just as we please, without any real persecution. Yet, yes, we must admit this experiment in our republic of democracy is tested at times, it's stretched at times, it's bent vigorously at times, yet here we stand, here we sit, still free. Wow. Today, in cookouts and fireworks, real patriots will celebrate this freedom we have in this temporal world. But you know, is that what I'm here to talk about today? As wonderful as this freedom is that we enjoy in the United States of America, it cannot compare, everyone, to the glorious freedom we Christians have in Christ Jesus. And we're going to look at that. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8:2. That, my friends, is a freedom to celebrate. Right on. Lord, I thank you for today. This time we could come and worship you, to sing those lyrics of truth to you. Lord, I pray it moved in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you were here pleased as you just soaked in and listened to our praise to you. You rightfully deserve it and should have it. I pray it comes to you through our hearts of sincerity. Lord, we thank you today on this day we celebrate our nation's freedom. Lord, it's by your grace we're here. I lift the nation up before you today, Lord. Turn us back to you. Lord, send a revival in our land. Use your body, your church, to be the lights in this world. Lord, let us thank you today for your word. Let it remind us, encourage us, give us joy as we go out and apply it to our life. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so 1776, what's important about that day? That day was the Declaration of Independence. These men you see up there, they laid their lives on the line with the content in this document. And many of them will pay with their life. That document, it paved the way to the Revolutionary War, the war fought for our independence. You with me? It speaks of this, of the King of Britain as a tyrant, exercising absolute tyranny over the colonies. This is the language in the Declaration. Here's more. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coast, burned our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people, doing the works of death, desolation, and tyranny and cruelty. He, the king, is a prince whose character is thus marked by every action which may define a tyrant. Wow. From this prince and king of tyranny, our forefathers declared themselves free with this line, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we are free. Wow. Wow. Think of that. What an apt picture in the spiritual realm of the tyranny of sin and death in Romans 8:2. As sin and death plunders, ravishes, destroys the lives of people, doing the works of death, desolation, and tyranny and cruelty. Wow. I would suggest to you today that there is another king, another prince who is far eviler, and whose tyranny is far deadlier than any king or prince of Great Britain ever was, or any dictator today or in the history of the world, Satan himself. He is the prince of evil. He is the devil himself. He is called in the word the king of this world. We must never become complacent with what I'm about to say. Though Satan, the king of tyranny and evil, he no longer holds us captive. We should praise the Lord. We are free in Christ. That should mean something. That should mean more than your freedom in the red, white, and blue on this ground. Wow. Jesus said this in John 8:32 through 36. He said, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free," what does he say? "You will be free indeed." Jesus came into this world to set us free from sin and death. He didn't come to set us free physically. He didn't come and set them free from the Roman tyranny. He came to set man free from the tyranny of death and sin. You know, when Jesus went to Nazareth, in the synagogue there in Nazareth, his own hometown, he got up to speak and read, and he pulled the book Isaiah, and he read to them Isaiah 61:1, these words referring to himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed. Wow. And that's what he did. You know, I'm here to say, and I believe it wholeheartedly, as wonderful as physical freedom is, this spiritual freedom from sin and death is so much more important than physical, social, or political justice, freedom, or reform. It is this freedom that all mankind needs, for it's this freedom that lasts for eternity. Slavery to sin is the worst form of tyranny, my friends, which will end in the worst kind of misery, which is nothing less than eternal death in hell apart from your Creator, God the Father, forever, unless one is set free. Aren't you thankful for the unless? We must truly, everyone, understand what this freedom is. What is this kind of freedom? Romans 8:2, we have life in Christ Jesus. This freedom is eternal life. We have moved from the realm of sin and death that demands our death to what? Romans 8:1, freedom from the very condemnation for those who are in Christ, the very condemnation of what that death and what that sin justly demands of us. We have freedom from slavery to sin. Listen to Romans 6:20 through 22. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. Think of that for a minute. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in what? Death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is what? What? Come on, everybody, what is the result?
Eternal life.
We were once so enslaved by the tyranny of sin that we were free from the control of righteousness. We couldn't do anything righteous, meaning righteousness could have no control in our life because of sin's mastery and tyranny over us. Wow. Don't you love verse 2? You always know I say, I love the buts in the Bible. But now, you've been set free from the slavery of sin. You've been set free from the mastery of sin. We have a new master who can lead us to holiness, resulting in eternal life. But now you have a new master. Now you have a new Lord. Now you have a new nature. Now you can do righteousness, which you could not do before. Now through holiness, that word, the Lord can bring sanctification and completion in your life. Wow. That holiness is the Lord's work of sanctification in our life. In other words, we are free from sin's penalty. We are free from sin's power. And one day, we sang about it here today, one day, praise the Lord, we will be free even from the very presence of sin in glory. Man, oh man, I'm free from that penalty. I'm free from that power. I can live for God now. And one day, boom, I'm free from his very presence when we stand in glory. And you want to call freedom something? That's real independence. That's real freedom. Don't you love it? You know, think about this for a minute. Our freedom, our spiritual freedom, did not come about the way he did with our nation. Did not. Our nation did something unique. They all got together and they just up and declared they're free. Hey, I'm going to declare from the King of England, we're just going to declare our freedom. And they fought for it, for its separation from the prince of tyranny of that day, the King of England himself. Our forefathers, what did they do? They fought in the field. They fought in the woods. They fought in the towns. They fought in the rivers. They even met, at first they met England on the battlefield, the British soldiers, man on man. And we couldn't compete. We couldn't win. So we fought and started introducing new types of warfare, guerrilla warfare, and we started picking off snipers. That's where snipers came from. Their leaders and their captains and their lieutenants. We were shooting off the head because they fought in a way of commands only. We fought in unique ways. They won their freedom from the mightiest military of their day. The distance and cost of the war, along with the American attitude, the American style of fighting, the beginning of guerrilla warfare, so fatigued Britain that they chose to give up the colonies. America declared her independence in 1776. But it took another 5 years to win freedom from Britain. That day came on October 19th, 1781, when the British general, Charles Cornwallis, he surrendered his troops in Yorktown, Virginia. He was surrounded. The day leading up to that, the British general and his captains, his officers, they could not believe this has happened. General Cornwallis, he brought 8,000 troops to Yorktown. They expected to crush us. They expected also help from their homeland of the British ships sent from New York. Guess what? The British ships never arrived to help them. That was a godsend for General George Washington and the Continental Army. These small little 13 colonies found their opportunity to beat the world's largest empire, and they took advantage of it. George Washington, he also had help from the French. The French Navy is the one who kept the British ships from entering through the York River into the Chesapeake Bay, and cut Cornwallis off. These French troops, led by General John Baptiste, also joined General Washington. The French and Washington, they gathered an army of how many? 17,000 troops surrounded Yorktown. The army continued a siege on Cornwallis at Yorktown. They surrounded the town and they cut off their supplies. After a while, the British, they started running out of food. They were running out of ammunition. They could not continue fighting due to circumstance. Surrounded by French and American troops, Cornwallis had no choice but to surrender. Therefore, the two sides signed the formal agreement of surrender of the British on October 19th. And that day meant the end of fighting and the beginning of American independence. There's that story, big and broad, in a nutshell. Britain could have sent more troops. They could have decided to stick it out, spend more money, continue fighting us and the French. But that outweighed what they believed was the cost. Therefore, we won their freedom. There you have it. That's how it happened. Man on man, determination against determination. But that's not so with man's eternal condition in this fight. No matter how hard one may fight, no matter what the circumstances may be, no matter who comes to your aid, no matter how many allies you have, no matter what your fight strategy is, no matter what your good works are, no matter what your merit is, left to ourselves, we could never be free from the law of sin and death. This is a tyrant you cannot defeat on your own. This death in which Job himself in Job 18:14 says is the king of terrors. That's tyranny. That's tyranny. We would never be free of the prince of this world either. The ruler of this world, Satan himself, John 12:31. You see, here's what you have to understand. You can't overthrow him on your own with an army. Guess what? He has one too, and he doesn't even need one, even if you had all the military might in the world. He will never surrender to you. He will never surrender to man. He is undefeatable in all circumstances. Man and this world can throw at him, at sin and at death. If it was just left to man and his ways, there is no hope for victory. The fight is futile. There can be no freedom, be no independence. He cannot be defeated left to man and his own ways. Wow. No hope for real independence. You see, our freedom was not earned by us in a fight. Our freedom was conferred upon us by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Man, that's a moment. It was conferred upon you. Romans 8:3, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Who gets the glory for your eternal independence? Huh? You see, what the law could not do, which is save us because of our sin natures, were too weak to keep it perfectly through the law, God did for us, praise the Lord. He did the fighting by sending his son to keep that law perfectly and to pay the very penalty for the law that we have broken. Wow. What we could not do, God did for us in his son, that we who might believe will be set free from sin and death, this tyranny we had no escape from. Wow. The war of our independence was not fought by us. It was fought by Jesus Christ. And Satan, to him he will bow, because he has nothing on God. Our Independence Day was the day that we received Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that is a day you should burn off all the fireworks you have. That is the day that you should be celebrating above all others. I'm telling you, we are the light. We are the light in the world now because of that freedom. We should light up the sky. We should light up our world. We should be a walking firecracker. We should be out there showing our independence. We should be celebrating full of joy, happy and thankful to the Lord. As we saw earlier in John 8, it is the Son, it is Jesus Christ who makes you free. You know, until the Spirit, think about this, opened your eyes, you were blind in spiritual slavery. We were just like the Pharisees that Jesus spoke of in John 8 when they said to Jesus, "We have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say, you will become free?" You see, we were just like that. We were so blinded, so self-deceived until the Holy Spirit opened the eyes of our heart. How many people do you see have that idea? Don't tread on me, I'm free. They're confused. They don't know they're not free. But I want, as we near the end of this morning, I want to remember something very important. You see, this spiritual liberty This spiritual freedom from tyranny was never meant to equal license or liberty from law. You with me? The essence of the Declaration of Independence was liberty under law, under the laws of nature and nature's God. The supreme judge of the world is the text in the Declaration. It wasn't liberty for all sakes. It was liberty under law, under justice. Increasingly in our nation, liberty has been turned to license. This cry of independence from the freedom of my personal rights has been magnified to mean freedom to express anything at any time in any way, to do as I please without regard to other men, and especially without regard to God, the supreme judge of the world. And the result of this type of tyranny we are seeing in so many places. I want you to listen to this concept from the words of Abraham Lincoln in 1864. We all declare for liberty, but in using the same word, we do not all mean the same thing. With some, the word liberty may mean for each man to do as he pleases with himself and the product of his labor. While with others, the same word may mean for some men to do as they please with other men and the product of other men's labor. Here are two, not only different, but incompatible things called by the same name, liberty. And it follows that each of these things is, by the respective parties, called by two different and incompatible names, liberty and tyranny. How do you define liberty? So true. Freedom and liberty is never license for immorality, license for lawlessness. Spiritually, for us as believers, spiritual freedom from the law of sin and death is not a freedom to now do as we please in arrogant independence before God, but rather we are now free to truly serve and obey God who has set us free, whom we now serve. Liberty is not license to sin. Romans 6:22 tells us that we have been freed from sin and enslaved to God. Well, man doesn't know, no matter what earthly freedom you possess or have, all men serve someone. All men serve someone. Amen. Romans 6:22 tells us we've been freed from this sin, yet we are now slaves to God who set us free. We have a new Lord of our life. We got rid of one tyrant, and now we have the good God. To serve Him now, to give Him all of our loyalty, to give Him everything we have, to go into His battle now on His team, to serve Him and obey Him and be used for His glory. James tells us we have a new law to live by, the law of liberty, which is the Word of God. How many of you live by the law of liberty? It says in James 1:25, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. James 1:25. He goes on in chapter 2, verse 12, so speak and so act as those are to be judged by the law of liberty. You may say, man, law and liberty sounds like an oxymoron to me. That sounds like a massive contradiction. But it's not. It's actually a glorious truth. It's a glorious truth. Because we have been freed from the slavery to sin, we are now truly free, or we are at liberty by God's very grace to want to serve and obey Him and His Word. That is the law of liberty. Someone once said, one is truly free not only when he can do what he wishes to do, but when he wishes to do and can do what he should do. You see that? What's that look like for the believer? What's that look like for those saved from the law of sin and death? It's kind of like this. You see, God's word tells us what we should do. And God, by his grace, has freed us to not only wish to do it because we love him who died for us, but that he gives us the ability by his grace to do it, to obey it. This is what you're now freed to do. Freed from not being able to do that, now free to do this. This is the law of liberty. It is the law of liberty. Okay. Are you ready for a truth? Are you ready for a truth that Satan desperately wants you to not know? Are you ready for a truth that he will continue to lie to you? He will continue to deceive you. He will continue to try to get you to believe anything else other than this truth? Here it is. Here's the truth. Obeying its precepts do not take the joy out of life. They make life worthwhile. That's what makes life worthwhile, serving the Lord. Our old sin nature rebels at that. Satan will fight at that at all costs, but that is the truth of it. How many times have you heard, and you disciple people, how many times have you heard in addiction counseling and on, oh, but I don't want to give up the fun stuff in life. What are you talking about? Dope. What? Yeah, it makes me feel so good, but how's it make you feel after? Yeah, bad. Alcohol. Oh, but I party and have such a good time. How's it make you feel after? Oh, I spent 6-7 hours worshiping the porcelain god. Oh, Satan's telling you a lie. It is the law of liberty that is worthwhile in living, by submitting those things to God and obeying him. And there's freedom. Psalm 119, 44 through 45. So I will keep your law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Don't you love that? You see, ordering one's life by God's laws, seeking God's precepts, will enable one to walk at liberty with a conscience free of guilt that comes with sin, that comes with disobedience, free of the sorrows and the tears as the consequences of sin wreak havoc on lives. Oh, to think about, to live for the law of liberty that grace has set us free to do. To live like that is what Jesus said. Then you are free, and you are free indeed. Amen. So this July 4th, let's celebrate our physical independence. That's by God's grace, the freedom that we have in this country. Let's thank God for this. Let's never take it for granted. Let's champion the cause of God in America today. Let's pray for our leaders as we are commanded to in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. Just briefly, we created this during the last year. Do you remember it? Is it hidden away in a book? I begged and pleaded with you to pray this every day for a year. How many of you are doing that? How many of these have wound up in the trash or gone? How many of you don't even know where yours is? The supremacy of God in our culture that has suppressed him. We need to be praying the salvation of Jesus in our leaders who have rejected him. That the Spirit is outpoured on our nation through repentance before him. That the lordship of Jesus in our lives to glorify him. For the love of God's word in our souls to grow in him. The longing in our hearts to win souls, to gather a harvest for him. You see, the effective prayer of a righteous man can't accomplish much. Are we praying for our nation? in this gratitude of our freedom, especially in the gratitude of our independence from sin and death and what Jesus has done for us. If you have, these are out there on the coffee bar. I put them out there. Grab one, take one, partner with us and pray for our nation, please. Let's pray for a revival in our land so we can get back to recognizing God, who in the Declaration of Independence was listed as the supreme judge of all the world, who in the Declaration of Independence was recognized as the author of liberty, that our declaration says. And as we thank God for this freedom we enjoy in our country, let's bow our heads and thank Him again tonight, today, for the freedom that we have from tyranny of sin and death. I don't believe until we get to heaven and we stand in the presence of Almighty Jesus will we truly understand what He's done for us in that freedom from a tyrant that we could never escape. Amen. Why do you all look so gloomy? Yeah, I'm going to be online with that being recorded. Where's the smiles, the praise? I understand we're sitting here in reverence to the Lord, but boy, we have so much to thank God for. My. You know, as we close, we need to thank Him for the deliverance that we've been granted. I want to thank Him every day. Remember, we want to get up every morning. We've talked about this. And before we get out, before our feet hit the ground, praise God. Praise Him for our deliverance granted. Do you know what He did? It tells us in Colossians 1, 13 through 14. You went from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of His beloved Son. Woo! Wow! That's freedom. I got a new citizenry in whom we have redemption, the very forgiveness of our sins. And let's do one other thing. Let's determine to set our mind, our wills, our heart in accordance with the Lord, submitting to His power working through us to live by the law of liberty, to freely choose to serve and obey our Lord, to freely choose to serve and make Him master of our life, with a loyalty that never wavers, that we might be the very salt and light of Him in the world today, to be on His mission, on His plan, each day growing in our knowledge of Him in the Word. Wow, that is freedom. That is deliverance. Walk in the law of liberty. Lord, I just thank You today. I thank You from my heart. We thank You here as we celebrate July 4th. The freedom we have in this nation, our independence that You've granted. But Lord, more so that we are no longer slaves to sin, slaves to death, that Satan has no more control or power over us. We thank You for our salvation, so great and free, that You did what we could not do. You offered it freely. If we would only choose to believe You, submit to You as Lord of our life. I pray we are doing that. We give You glory and thank You for it. In Your name we pray, amen. Before we sing, I want us to sing a song, not sing very much today. Especially the last verse of this song. This song was the adopted national anthem, everyone, until the Star Spangled Banner became the official anthem in 1931. This was written by a man named Samuel Francis Smith while he was attending Andover Theological Seminary in the year 1831, not long after the Declaration of Independence. It was first performed in America in public on July 4th, 1831, and was then sung by Americans throughout the land as our banner song. Allow me to read these verses before we sing them. The song, America, My Country, 'Tis of Thee. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring. My native country, thee, land of the noble free, thy name I love. I love thy rocks and rills, the woods and templed hills. My heart with rapture fills like that above. Let music swell the breeze and the ring from all the trees, sweet freedom's song. Let mortal tongues awake. Let all that breathe partake. Let rocks their silence break, the sound prolong. And here it is, our Father's God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light, and you are that light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. Wow. He is our King. He freed us from tyranny of sin and death. He's let us be here in America, whether you've immigrated, came here under immigration status. We all got here that way. Whether you were born here or whatever, here's where he has you. And we are partakers in this freedom so bright, red, white, and blue. But that is the least of it. The least of it is that we serve him as our mighty Savior. And we walk in this nation thanking God for it. And in verse 4, it's our Father's God to thee, the author of liberty, who we sing, who we pray to, who we follow as we walk in freedom, proclaiming Christ in a dying world. And we are the light of holiness in this world due to what Jesus has done for us. We are his light and we are his salt. And so we say, protect us, because we know you protect us by your might. Because great God, you are now my King. Let's stand and sing.